You're here today. You're here because the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this message. So tune in. Go to Luke chapter 5. Whew. Wow. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, just to set this thing up. Wow, what a great time of praise and worship and prayer. Amen. Thank you, prayer team, for ministering to the people. Hallelujah. Look at this. Here we go. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, Jesus, to hear the word of God. Well, isn't that awesome? People actually wanted to hear the word of God. They were hungry for it. They pressed. They wanted to hear more from him. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, which is Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Underline that. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. How many does that sound? Does that sound like the negativity we have many times in our life? Yeah, I've already done that so many times, right? Come on. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Why was their net breaking? Because Jesus said, let down the nets, not net. So their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Underline that last verse. God is calling us. As you can see by the prophetic words as well, the Holy Spirit wanted to drive this home. The Holy Spirit is calling us, his people, to launch out into the deep. Amen? Amen. Now, what is the deep? When I'm talking about launching out into the deep, I'm talking about his perfect will for your life. That's when I'm talking about the deep. It's a perfect will. And I'm going to talk more about what that means in a moment. But today I want to talk about what that means to spiritually launch out into the deep and the other dynamics involved with that that the Holy Spirit revealed to me that were very interesting that I never thought about before. But when someone launches their boat or ship out into a lake or into the ocean, how many of you know it takes some kind of force to push that boat or ship away from the dock? Amen? If there's no force, no push, guess where the boat or the ship stays? Docked. It goes nowhere. It doesn't move. In a spiritual sense, it takes the force of desire, discipline, and obedience to push us away from the docks of tradition of man and our comfort zones that we so dearly hold on to. How many of you can admit we have comfort zones in our life? We have traditions that we learned growing up that aren't necessarily biblical. Amen? As a Christian, you are still at the dock spiritually if you make comments like this. I have always done it this way. I'm never going to change. That's how I was taught in church, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not changing. If those kind of comments or that kind of heart attitude is there, sure enough, you're still at the docks. God is calling and leading his people to push away from the docks of tradition of man and from our comfort zones. You know, boats were not created to sit at docks. They were created to sail. Amen? They're created to float. They're created to go. They have a purpose. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is the greatest enemy to traditions of man and comfort zones. He's the greatest enemy to that. In regard to our relationship with the Holy Spirit, He is consistently trying to push us out of our comfort docks. He's constantly trying to push us away from the docks of dead traditions of man. And by the way, Jesus said, traditions of man can make the word of God what? Of no effect. In other words, your belief on something that's not biblical, it literally can pull the power out of the word in your life. That's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? How many of you want the power of God to flow? You want the fullness of the power of God. But there are so many blessings waiting for Christians that are willing and obedient to move into the deeper waters of the will of God for their life. Go with me to Isaiah 54. Let's jump right into this. Isaiah 54. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, that anointing was so rich on that praise and worship. Hallelujah in the prophetic words today. Isaiah 54, 2 through 5, I want to look at. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. Come on, somebody. A lot of you are holding on to shame for things you've done in your past. God's telling you to let go of it. Amen? And will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to point out in that, when the Holy Spirit brought me there for this message, what jumped out to me was that enlarge the place of your tent and to stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. The Holy Spirit is trying to say, you have more potential than where you're at right now. Yes. Come on. God, how many of you know God wants to enlarge your territory? Amen. In other words, go places you have never gone before. Enlarge yourself, stretch yourself, dig in, be determined and disciplined to fulfill the will of God for your life. Now, how many of you know many people don't do that because it's not the most comfortable place. It's not the most comfortable process. But God is more interested in our spiritual growth. Come on. And even the reason he's interested in our spiritual growth is for one reason, to advance his kingdom. All right? He wants his kingdom advanced more than you remaining. He doesn't want you to remain in that spiritual, that place of spiritual immaturity or those comfort zones, that ineffectiveness, or come on, let's just say it like it is, spiritual laziness. We as Christians, as ambassadors for Christ, we have a mission to accomplish on this earth. And we need to be on the move with purpose. We got to be moving forward constantly. We need to stop wasting precious and valuable time on this earth. The clock of our life personally and God's prophetic time clock is ticking away and it's not stopping. And Jesus is counting on us personally and corporately as a body here and the body of Christ as a whole to reach as many people as possible with the gospel message in the kingdom of God. Amen? How many of you know? Listen, let's bring it back home to Jesus now. Jesus left his personal comfort zone from heaven, did he not? He expects the same out of us. And it's our what? Reasonable service. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. So next time you think it's just everything's too hard in the Christian walk, just remind yourself it's reasonable compared to what Jesus did for us. Amen? We are ambassadors for Christ on this earth. We represent him, not ourselves. Are you willing to lose family and friends for the sake of the gospel? There will be some that turn their backs on you if you decide to push away from the dock and start floating into the deeper waters. Amen? It's time to launch out into the deep. Ask yourself this question. Am I moved by the fear of God or by the fear of man? Am I moved by the fear of God or the fear of man? How do you know if you're growing spiritually? How do you know? Because there will be growing pains. Say growing pains. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel an uneasiness. Why? Because it's new to you and you're, come on, old way of thinking. Say old way of thinking. We all of us in here, we all have old ways of thinking that we need to press through. Amen? It challenges parts of your belief system that opposes the word of God, that opposes the will of God for your life personally. Growing spiritually, it's not an easy process. There's a price to pay, and that price is this: your everything. Everything. God requires it all. It's your, again, your reasonable service. It means that we must throw our dead religious traditions overboard. Everything that's weighing us down spiritually, everything that's weighing us down emotionally, everything that's taking our attention away from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's got to be thrown overboard. We have divine appointments to fulfill. Amen? You and I, we have places that we need to be, that we need to live, that have precise, listen to me, that has precise divine timing on it. It's a slice of time. That's why I say when God prophesies something to you, a lot of time it's a time bomb. Say time bomb. It's a time bomb that has a precise time. In other words, if you're not fitting in within that time, you passed it. Now you got to wait again. Wait again for the word again. You got to wait for the timing on it. Before Marianne and I knew about this position at Living Waters Chapel, before we knew about the position at the Register of Deeds of Tuscola County for her, we had no clue that we would ever, I wouldn't have even dreamed that we would ever live, come on, in Caro, Michigan. Never crossed my mind. Lived in Michigan all my life. We played you guys when I was in high school. That's all I knew about Caro, right? But never dreamed in my life that there would be divine appointments here in Caro, Michigan. You all that are here and listening to this message right now, listen to me. The Holy Spirit has plans for some of you that you have no idea he's working out the details at this very moment, right now. There are divine appointments being arranged for you right now that will bless and change your life as you know it right now. Many are feeling discouraged. You're feeling that emotional heaviness. You're feeling, God, is anything ever going to happen in my life? But listen to me. I guarantee you, he's moving. He's putting things into place. He's speaking. Listen, the Holy Spirit's speaking to other people that you have no idea what he's doing, but he's lining up a divine appointment for your future. Now, that future could be later this afternoon. It could be tomorrow. It could be a year from now. It could be 5. Whatever it is, God's got good plans and a future and a hope for all of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, to go into the deep, the will of God, and divine assignments from the Lord, you must allow the Holy Spirit to lead you there. That's why I said there's a divine timing. Listen to what I said again. I want to say it very, very carefully. To go into the deep, into that will of God, the divine assignments he has for you, you must allow the Holy Spirit to lead you there. You are obeying and following the Holy Spirit. You cannot be led by your fleshly desires into those assignments. Did you hear what I just said? If it's not God leading you, it will not be profitable for you personally or for the kingdom of God. In fact, a wrong decision or the wrong timing could negatively affect your life, even for something that's good, but you're not called to do yet or at all, right? It could delay God's plan for your life. Many Christians try to force or make something happen without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's danger zone when you're talking about the time bombs of the Holy Ghost. At that point, they are just, it's your flesh. You're in your flesh and you're outside of that timing. I want to be in the timing, say timing, of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told Simon Peter to launch out into the deep and let down his net. And he got results when Jesus said to do it. The timing was perfect. Say timing. If Simon Peter went out into the deep without Jesus telling him to do it, again, he went out, he was unsuccessful. If he would have said, guys, let's just try it again, he would have been unsuccessful. He needed the timing of Jesus on it. If he would have went out on his own, he would have been, come on, disappointed again. There's a lot of disappointment in the body of Christ because we're not staying in the timing of the Holy Spirit with divine appointments I'm talking about. He told Jesus that he was out all night and he caught nothing. But when Jesus gave the command to go, come on, how many know there will always be positive results when you obey the voice of the Lord? The voice of the Holy Spirit. When you consider an ocean, when you consider a lake, the deep part of a lake or the ocean, it's a very dark place, isn't it? It's the deep place, when we talk about going out into the deep, what I'm talking about is this. It's something that we're very unfamiliar with because we haven't been there. It's a place that, again, takes us out of our comfort zones as believers. Now, the deep can be a very lonely place at times because you are the one that received the orders and nobody else. Hello. Many times we receive orders from the Holy Spirit and we're trying to drag old friends into it. And guess what? It's not going to work because you got the assignment, not them. And in fact, you might be pulling people in that's gonna delay or even hinder or ruin that divine assignment. So you got to be ready. You got to be ready. There might be some people that won't go there with you, right? Everyone in your life will not and cannot go with you there, all right? When Jesus called the 12 disciples to follow him, how many of you know those 12, they had to sacrifice some things. They had to let go of some people. They had to let go of their jobs. They had to let go of their comfort zones. But you know what I like about them? They recognized a divine appointment when they seen it. They felt destiny in their heart. And they said, I cannot pass this by. The sacrifice is nothing compared to following Jesus. And that's the same way in our life today. Amen? So launching out into the deep is a sacrifice of obedience to your Heavenly Father. It's really a sacrifice of obedience and worship to your Heavenly Father. Do you know every time you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, do you know it's an act of worship to your Heavenly Father? Yes. Amen. Now listen to this. Here we go. Launching out into the deep, when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit to do it, here's what you got to get this. This is something that I never thought about before. It just dropped in my spirit as I was working on this message. Listen to this. Launching out into the deep, when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit to do it, it will pull out or bring to the surface our true God-given identity. Why? Because you were made for that divine appointment. You were made for that calling. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, come on. And that should energize you and fire you up. Amen? You might be able to, now listen to this. Oh, I'm going to drop something here that many Christians don't understand, they don't think about. You might be able to get to that deep place of the will of God initially, but to remain in that place, to remain in that assignment and be successful, the masks need to come off. The emotional wounds need to be dealt with in your heart. The faults need to be healed in our hearts. Amen? That divine appointment in the deep, that will of God, is specifically made for the real you. And if you try going in to fulfill it with someone other than the God-given identity that he made you, it's going to get messed up. It's going to be hindered. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I was praying, Lord, please, that point is so important right there. So you can get to a divine appointment. You can get a position. Come on. But it requires you dealing with your heart. It requires a renewed mind for everything to play out the way God intended it to play out. Many times, listen to this. Many times, God gives us opportunities by extending credit to us in situations. Do you know what I mean by that? He extends credit. Or in other words, I'm going to give you a chance. You ever did that with your kid, right? Yeah, they messed up before and all that. They had somebody. But you know what? Let's give her another go. Let's do it again. Let's try it again. Many times God gives us opportunities by extending credit to us in situations and positions, and he's testing us. He's testing our hearts. Getting to the will of God, listen, getting to the will of God, getting to that divine assignment is only the beginning. Fulfilling it is an entirely different issue. One, you get to it. Number two, now you got to fulfill it. And they're two different things. That is why we are required to change to fulfill it. The old mindsets, like what the prophetic word said today, the old mindsets will mess everything up. You know, sometimes you see someone who was in a position somewhere in ministry or whatever, and, you know, they got the position, and then it just turned into a total nightmare, right? And you think, wow, was that person even meant to be in that position? Yeah, probably. But getting to the position and fulfilling it are two different things. Did you just hear what I just said? The wounded you, the you that the enemy and the world formed in your heart, will botch the entire plan of God if not corrected. So the key is this then. When you recognize the Holy Spirit is moving and leading you somewhere, here's the key. Be open to self-reflection. Be open to change. Be brutally honest about the weak areas of your life that need to change. Very simple. Have a soft and pliable heart. Receive correction and help from whoever the Holy Spirit leads your way. Whoever the Holy Spirit chooses to send your way to help you. Amen? Ask the Holy Spirit to do this. Say, Holy Spirit, make me aware of areas of my heart that I need to change that will help me to fulfill the calling on my life. Very simple. So the real you that God created, your God-given identity, reflects Jesus in what you think, say, and do. One of the most basic questions in most of the sessions I ask people is, who is the real you? And they just sit there kind of baffled. Oh, I don't know. Why? Because a lot of the trauma, a lot of the pain they dealt with, even from being a young child, has clouded who they don't even really know who they are. Who is the real me, right? Start asking yourself, who is the real me? And trust me, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you through that process. Amen? God intentionally made it that way in his will, all right, for his will to be fulfilled, that you got to change, not only for you to be a blessing, but for you to be made whole in every area of your life. It's a win-win situation. When God calls you to do something, it's a win-win for everyone. It's a win for you because the Holy Spirit's going to be ministering to you. You're going to have an opportunity to make changes. But the bigger goal is this: make the changes so you can be a blessing to humanity. That's the real blessing right there. So that's why I say it's a win-win situation. Say win-win. Oh, don't you like that? Win. I like to win. Amen. Win-win. Hallelujah. Here we go. You are launching out into the deep. When you put what you learn from the Word of God and revelation from the Holy Spirit into action in your life. Listen to this. Ready? Don't be ever learning and never doing. You know, there's some people who get so, when I went to Rhema, they stayed down there for years. Years, they got all this education, they got all this fire of the Holy Ghost, and they're like professional students. Some people said, you know, go, leave Tulsa, leave, go minister, go pastor, go be a missionary, go be an evangelist. But people wanted to just stay there. Why? Because it's cozy. It's the Bible Belt of America, man. It's a spiritual incubator down there, I'm telling you. But it's funny. So don't be ever learning and never doing. At that point, you're a professional student who acquires like many different degrees but never uses them. What's the point? What's the point? Unused or unapplied knowledge is wasted knowledge. Say it again. Unused or unapplied knowledge is wasted knowledge. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit reveal knowledge to us to use in our life. Always to use. That's what wisdom is. Say wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. You're using it. Amen. All knowledge revealed to us from God is very practical. And every time he reveals something to us, teaches us something, there's a purpose behind it. It's knowledge that benefits not only you personally, but it's going to benefit humanity. Hallelujah. Purpose. Now listen to this. The definition of purpose is this. Purpose means the reason behind why something exists or was created. Basically, you could say this. Purpose means reason. Say reason. It's the reason. There's always a purpose. There's always a reason attached to when the Holy Spirit shows us something in the Word of God. There's always a reason when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us about our own life. There's always a reason. It's trying to get us back into the purpose, our identity, the real you. Say the real me. So James 2:20 says this. It says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. We serve the true and living God. Amen. And the knowledge he passes on to us, he expects us to mix it with living faith, not dead faith. How many of you know you can have faith, but it's dead? It means you're not acting on it. Living faith means you're actually applying it to your life. Right? How many of you know Satan and evil spirits in the kingdom of darkness have dead faith? They got knowledge, but they didn't put it into action. That's why they got kicked out of heaven. Are you following me? I haven't said that in a while, have I? Knowledge itself does not make a person spiritually mature, but applied knowledge does. I said applied knowledge does. That's why the Word of God says this phrase, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the most important thing when it comes to knowledge because you need to apply it into your life. Or else it's no good to you. Living faith, not dead faith. Remember I said recently that spiritual maturity is based on our level of surrender to allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to influence us. We need to surrender. Amen? We need to surrender to the will of God in our life. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. So launching out into the deep with the Holy Spirit will challenge you and it will test your level of commitment. It will test your level of commitment to God. Oh my goodness, will it ever. It has a powerful way when God calls you into a divine appointment, a divine assignment, it has a powerful way of revealing the idols in our life, things that we place more importance on more than God. It's a time of, it's a pruning time, pruning the evil, the fleshly and negative fruit out of our life. Again, If that doesn't happen, remember, it's one thing to get to the appointment, divine appointment. It's another thing to fulfill it positively. Amen? Those are two different things. Again, if that pruning on the inside of us in our heart is not allowed to happen in our life, we go back. What happens? We go back to the shallow end of the pool. We go back to the shallow end of the pool, spiritually speaking. Back to, you could say, the immature status. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 real quick with me. 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. How many of you recognize that before when the Holy Spirit had an assignment for you, a call on your life, and you started to step out and you started to fulfill that? How many of you know it started to pick away things out of your life? Like, oh my goodness, I got to deal with this now. Like God's requiring more out of you. more out of you. And that's because, again, because he's picking those things away that have been covering the real you. He's taking those things away. He's trying to shed them so it can get down to the core of who you are, of who he created you to be. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, and it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" And then verse 4 says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" Now, the Christians that Paul were writing to were not putting what they learned into practice. Paul said, "Look, guys, I've taught you this. I want to take you into the deeper end of the pool, but, you know, I'm going to have to keep you in the shallow end because you're acting carnal. Come on, somebody." So the Holy Spirit through Paul was trying to take them into the deeper things of God in their life. But because of that carnal mindset, because of that unwillingness to change, they had to stay again at the shallow end of the spiritual pool. They weren't able to handle deeper waters. Look at the Pharisees, for example. How many of you know they had a huge amount of knowledge, spiritual knowledge and education, but it was nothing more than rituals and traditions to them. When Jesus came on the scene, he exposed their true heart attitude and their faults. Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath, healed someone on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees got angry because it was against the law to heal on the Sabbath. But how many of you know the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life? And Jesus came, come on, here it is, to shift things. Jesus came to shift things. He came to usher in a new covenant that would take believers into a heartfelt, meaningful relationship with God and people. Amen? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Now, that's why everything in the Old Covenant or New Covenant has to do with the heart, right? In fact, the law, the Old Covenant, it says in Galatians, it's a schoolmaster to point to our need for Christ. That's all that is, right? It's a picture of Christ to come, right, when he was coming, and our need for Jesus. That's what that's for. So you are launching out into the deep when you trust the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and you're not always doubting, questioning, or trying to reason it out in your mind. You know you're heading out into the deep. Now, if you're always doubting, questioning, and trying to reason things in your mind, you know you're in the kiddie pool. You're in the kiddie pool. Amen? Listen, you must believe and trust God even when your natural mind doesn't understand it. That's the nature of faith right there. Amen? Smith Wigglesworth. How many of you know who Smith Wigglesworth is? Don't you love that last name, Wigglesworth? Ha. Now listen, Smith Wigglesworth said this, powerful man of God back in the day. He said, "There is something about faith and believing God that will cause him to pass over millions of people to get to you." God loves it when we trust him. He loves it when we have faith. He loves it when we act on his word. He loves it when we are obedient, when he taps us on the heart like that, knocks on our heart. He absolutely loves it when we say, "I'm ready." Amen? When you feel or sense that call of God on your life, you need to obey and fulfill it no matter the cost. You need to know that every little detail, you don't need to know every little detail before you obey God. Did you know that? You don't need to know every little detail before you obey God. All you need to know is one thing. Ready? God's integrity. You don't need to know every little detail. The one thing that should make you at peace is this, knowing that God will never lead you in the wrong direction. Isn't that good to know? When I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma for Bible school in 2002, my firstborn, Alyssa, was about a month or two from being born. So I moved from Waterford, Michigan, down to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had family members thinking that I was being totally careless. I was being crazy, immature, foolish to do such a thing. What? He's losing his mind. This guy's crazy. His firstborn's on the way, going to be born in 1 or 2 months, and you're making the move now? That don't even make sense. I love when God doesn't make sense to family. I'm telling you, I took a lot of criticism from family for that. And you can imagine, right? But guess what? God called me to go down there, not them. Oh, did you just hear what I said? This wasn't a conference call with the Holy Ghost with the family. This was direct line from the Holy Ghost, baby. But I didn't let any person or circumstance in the natural realm hinder me from doing what God was calling me to do. I stayed focused and determined. I knew it. I felt it deep in my heart. I'm telling you that God was calling me to go down to Rhema in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, Broken Arrow, which is a suburb of Tulsa. There was such a peace on the inside of me. There was such an excitement inside of my heart about it. I had, like we talked about last week, listen, I had a deep conviction on the inside. It's like the Holy Ghost just had a hold of my heart. I knew that I knew nobody was going to talk me out of it. I knew we had to go. And I even told some people, I said, no. They said, well, why don't you wait till after Alyssa's born? You know, go next year. I said, no. This is the timing. I said, I got to get down there before Kenneth E. Hagin passes away. He died after my first year. I had him the last year of my first year of being down there. I knew that I knew that it was a time bomb from the Holy Ghost. I told people that. I said, I got to get down there before Brother Hagin passes away. And I had him 1 year, and he passed away the beginning of my second year, actually, September of 2003. I had that deep conviction. Now, remember I told you, there's about faith. Remember the conviction part? I had the substance part. I knew I had to go. I had to do it. And because of that, the Holy Spirit said, thank you very much. I'm going to give you that deep conviction in your heart, that nobody's going to be able to push you aside on that. And that's exactly what I felt. It was from the Holy Ghost. My house sold within a month after putting it up in Waterford, Michigan. I lived in that house for a year and a half, and I made $40,000 on it. That's pretty good money back in 2002. You know what I'm saying? But everything lined up perfectly for the move to Tulsa. I even moved down there without a job. Didn't know where I was going to work. Didn't care. All I knew was I was supposed to be there and God was going to take care of it. And he did. And when I got down there, I got a full-time job at the Oral Roberts University, the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, working with the Abundant Life Prayer Group, as many of you know, as a prayer partner. Prayer team member for full time. And I was making a whopping, I think it was around $8 an hour. Now, horrible pay, but amazing on the job ministry experience that was so valuable, and it helps me to this day in my position and calling. I was rubbing shoulders with Richard and Lindsay and people that were coming up. I mean, it was just an amazing time. I felt like I was in a spiritual incubator in Tulsa, and the Holy Spirit was preparing me for an amazing future. I literally felt destiny. I'd walk into the arena, the Maybe Center, where they had all the Benny Hinn conferences and all that stuff, and I'd walk in on my break because part of the time I worked at the up in the prayer tower. The other times I worked on the set of The Hour of Healing with Richard Roberts, on the television set as a prayer partner, you know, on the phone and the camera, blah, blah, blah. So half the time I worked at the television studio. And I remember on my breaks, I'd walk out and I'd just walk through the arena. And I'm like, I feel destiny. I feel destiny on being in Tulsa. God, you're preparing me. You're preparing me for something big. All right. So I would leave work at 11 p.m. from the prayer tower or the television studio, and I'd be driving home, and I'd just be thanking and praising God for leading me to that place. oh, it was so good. And then finally family members, you know, they started to accept and they're like, all right, yeah, it was good thing then, right? But my heart was an open book for the Holy Spirit to make any corrections needed while I was in Tulsa. What an amazing and a blessed time. And it was all that because could I have avoided, could I have said, you know, things in the natural aren't perfect for me to move down. Maybe I'll go the next year. Could I have done that? Probably. Would it have been as powerful? Would everything flowed like it did? Nope. Probably not. Because I was obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit to leave everything behind, to fulfill the call of God on my life. I was willing to launch out into the deep with the Holy Spirit. Let me show you someone else who is willing to launch out into the deep. Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, almost done here. Hallelujah. So my point is this. Everything doesn't have to be perfect in the natural realm for you to make a move. But what needs to be perfect is this, the Holy Ghost telling you to do it. Are you hearing me? It better be the Holy Ghost. And if it's not, you'll find out real quick.
Yeah.
Amen. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You got to know that you know that you know deep in your heart. And you will. If it's the Holy Ghost, you will. Now, the Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham obeyed God and left his family and familiar surroundings. Now, it's in this, his name is Abram. His name wasn't changed to Abraham yet, but it's the same person. But in Abram's situation there, in Genesis 12, God simply told him, very simply, he told him to leave, and he did not give him an exact location or destination. Did you see that? Nope. Abram was on a journey of faith. It demanded faith to fulfill it. Now, how many of us would be, we would be like, okay, God, I know you're calling me to go somewhere, but I'd kind of like to know where I'm going first. I'm not moving until you tell me. Guess what? You're going to stay at the docks for the rest of your life, and you're going to live a miserable, unfulfilled life, not fulfilling the call on your life. God only told him to go. But guess what? God would reveal it on the move. Say on the move. God will reveal on the... I found something out about the Holy Ghost. He speaks a lot when you're moving. And he really likes on-the-job training. God, I'm not qualified for this. Oh, I'll train you as you go. You think I'm qualified to pastor? This is on-the-job training. Do you think you're qualified to have kids and know every little detail to work with? It's on-the-job training, right? It's the Holy Ghost teaching you as you go, amen? Abram's obedience brought blessings into his and his family's life. And not only that, but blessed all of humanity because of Abraham's faith and obedience. And you can do the same with your faith and obedience, amen? You will never go wrong obeying God and his written word in your life. You will never go wrong obeying the Holy Spirit in your life. The word of God says this. It says, he that looks back after putting his hand to the plow is not fit. And I'm going to add this, James Brandt version, is not fit spiritually, emotionally, mentally for the kingdom of God. And that's why in the Word of God, Paul said this. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. That is talking about things in your past, in your life, that you would meditate on that would hinder you from fulfilling your future. Now, it's okay to think about the good things that will be a blessing to you and encourage you. But don't even think about anymore your past mistakes. It'd be great if we had a remote that we could just push rewind on, but we don't. All you can do is start where you're at and start obeying God right where you're at. Amen? When you launch out into the deep with the Holy Spirit, Expect sometimes that there's going to be resistance from the enemy. Don't think it strange. Come on. How many of you know you can be in the will of God, all hell coming against you, but you still have peace because you know you're supposed to be there? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the stupid things that we do that bring the attack. I'm talking about how the enemy will always try to challenge when we're trying to fulfill the will of God. But you'll know you're in the will of God. Amen? And Jesus was on his way to set a man free from demonic spirits. And he had a divine appointment. And Satan tried to hinder that by causing a storm on the sea. You guys remember that? Now, some people say, well, Satan didn't cause that. God caused that. No, I disagree, because Jesus rebuked the storm. Jesus would never rebuke his heavenly Father. So then we know it was the enemy trying to step in and cause resistance. Come on, somebody. If God was the cause of it, again, Jesus would be rebuking his heavenly Father, and that's just simply not going to happen. Satan knows that you are a greater threat to him and his evil kingdom if you get out of your comfort zone, out of your religious traditions, push away from the dock, and actually step out in obedience to God. See, the enemy tried to use family members to stop me from going down to Tulsa. Anybody have any family members that try to stop the will of God in your life? God love them. We love family. But you don't be led by them in some spiritual things, right? Again, it's a personal call, not a conference call many times, right? But the enemy, no blessing will go unchallenged by the enemy. I said no blessing will go unchallenged by the enemy. So just be alert. Know that you know in your heart that you're in the will of God. And when hell comes against you, stand strong. Amen. When you are obedient, and I'm almost done, this is my last point. When you are obedient, let me make sure I'm not lying to you. Yep, it's my last point. Just trying to stay upright here, right? Okay. When you are obedient to God by launching out into the deep, moving out of your comfort zone, you will always see positive results follow and blessings for doing it. There's always a blessing. But remember, the call on your God, the call on your life has a greater purpose than just you. It's to bless others around you. And you're going to be a benefactor of that blessing, and you're going to be a blessing. Amen? Go with me to Luke 5, Luke 5, 4 and 5 real quick. Luke 5, 4 through 5. There will always be blessings attached to it. All right. Now, Luke 5, 4 through 5. And it says these words. When he had stopped speaking, he said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, we need to be prepared to receive bountiful blessings, all right? Simon Peter and the other guys, they were not adequately prepared to take in all that God had for them, all right? We need to increase our expectation. The deeper you go spiritually, listen to this, the deeper you go spiritually, it's like you spreading out your net or expectation of faith out. The deeper you go, the bigger your net becomes to receive. Let me say that again. The deeper you go with God, the bigger your net becomes to receive blessings in your life. You will catch more fish, more blessings, the deeper you go. But you will catch less fish and less blessings if you stay at the shallow end. Think about that, right? Fishermen don't try to catch fish at the shallow end with a net. They go out to the deeper end. It's deeper. Come on, more provision in the deep. Come on, amen? Isaiah 1:19 says this, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Are you willing to launch out? Are you willing to be stretched for the sake of the gospel and the advancement of the kingdom of God? Real quick, two more verses. Mark 10:28. Real quick here. This is my last one. Mark 10:28. Mark 10:28-30. Mark 10:28-30. Listen to this. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake." That, underline that. That's the key. For my sake. When the Holy Ghost is telling you to do it. You don't just get up and leave on your own in these things. Are you understand what I'm saying? "For my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive," here it is, "a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands," underline it, "with persecutions. And in this age to come, eternal life." Jesus made it abundantly clear in this passage that if we are willing and obedient to follow the Holy Spirit, to sacrifice whatever He is calling us to sacrifice for the call of God on our life, wherever He leads you, you will be blessed, but with persecution. Just get ready. Everybody wants the blessing. They don't want the persecution. Sorry. The devil's not going to let any blessing go, come on, unchallenged. You will be, but if you will follow the call of God on your life, you will be on your Heavenly Father's payroll and be used in a powerful way. You will never outgive God in any area of your life. Amen? So it's time for all of us to desire and expect to be led by the Holy Spirit to launch us out into the deep, the deeper spiritual waters, come on, of His will for our life. Let's stand up in this place. It's time to launch out into the deep. Amen? Amen. Oh, and to get there, it's got to be the real you. Get rid of all the things that the world and junk has thrown upon you. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone, you're in this place and you never made Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is a day of salvation. Come on. To even get in the pool, you got to get born again. Amen. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come on down in front and just right now, just come to one of the prayer team members and say, "I want to be born again. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life." Now, maybe this message really touched your heart today and you're recognizing, wow, the Holy Spirit is tapping me and knocking on my heart. He's calling me to do something, but I've been resistant. I haven't been dealing with things I need to be dealing with. If that's you, come on down and just tell them. Just say, "This message really pricked my heart. Pray for me." And maybe you've fallen away from the Lord and you need to recommit your life to the Lord today. Today, I can't think of a better day to do it than today. Amen. Come on down and just tell them, "I want to rededicate my life to the Lord." If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism in speaking tongues and be a candidate for the 9 gifts of the Spirit, what an adventure. Come on down and say, "I want the Holy Spirit baptism." If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. They'll minister to you. Now, today at 3 p.m. at the courthouse is the Right to Life event today. So the keynote speaker is yours truly, Marianne. She's going to be speaking on the, yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I haven't even looked at what she's going to say, but you know, she's bold.
It lines right up with his message.
Wow, praise God. So it's at 3:00 at the steps.
And I haven't seen, I don't look at any of his messages before Sunday.
Yeah, anytime I try to talk to her, she goes, "Don't tell me, I want to just hear it with everybody else." All right, so 3:00 at the courthouse steps, Marianne will be speaking. And then immediately after, we're going to go to the Blessing Center in Wright downtown. And I've been asked to give just a four-minute little speech, if that's possible. 4 minutes, maybe? So I'm going to just say a little something in the Blessing Center afterwards. So, all right, have a blessed week. Tuesday, Wednesday, we got things going on. Wellspring, Linda's Bible. I mean, we just got so many things. Just, you know what they are. Take a paper and be blessed, everyone. Love you all. See you later. God bless.